Our guest this morning is Chuck Kaler. Chuck is one of the partners at the law firm Herling Clark Law Firm, located here in Appleton. We're going to have a very informative conversation with Chuck this morning, so you'd like to stay tuned, I hope. And please give us a call. I'll give out the phone numbers a little later if you have any questions for Chuck. Before we get into our conversation with Chuck, though, we just want to remind you that the SCORE program, or the BizTalk program, supports the local SCORE chapter here in Appleton. The SCORE chapter is part of a national organization. We have about 45 mentors in our chapter. We service an 8-county area from Appleton through Oshkosh down to Fond du Lac. Our mentors include experts in areas of law, accounting, production, intellectual property. We even have tweeters and social networking folks who are expert at tweeting.
Absolutely.
So if you're a business owner or you want to go into business and you have an issue in your company that you'd like to get a second opinion, some guidance, please contact SCORE. It's free. We screen all of our mentors. We train our mentors. We are here to help you succeed and help you to further your business. You can reach SCORE at foxcities.score.org.
Very good.
Randy and I have been keeping track of each other's reciting that because that's a new website and we're getting it down pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You can also contact SCORE at the chamber through the phone number is 734-7101. If you go to the website, foxcities.score.org, you'll learn about our chapter. There's an application right online. Answer some questions, hit the send button, and probably within a week or less, someone will be getting back to you to schedule an appointment to answer your questions about your business.
Absolutely. We try. We ask you to be a little patient, of course, because we are all volunteers.
Right.
And every once in a while, we lose a few of our people down to the southern climes for as snowbirds. But
right.
We have as many as we possibly can available to help you.
Right. And we're a busy office, but we have volunteers, like Randy said, and we're keeping it all going. And we want to help you if you have some questions. Randy, tell us a little bit about some of the other activities SCORE chapter is involved in. Right, concluding now, we're coming up on the final edition of our Simple Steps program.
That's right. We've got a very busy schedule for the spring coming up. As you said, our last meeting of the Simple Steps group is going to be taking place this coming Thursday, the 22nd. We're going to have Chuck Coonan as one of our sponsors from Lakeview Credit Union.
Chip Coonan,
going to be here, and he is going to be talking to us about funding sources,
yep.
Where you get the money and how you can do that. Then later, coming up in March, we plan on the 22nd to have Jyothi Netangadi, who is the owner of InfoSearch. She's also the chapter chair of SCORE, to come in and do a program for us on the business of being social. So as you said, those of you who want to learn social networking, what it's all about in social business, that's going to be an excellent program. It's going to be March 22nd from 8 till 11 in the morning at the Chamber office. Registration is available online right now, so you can go out to the website. And then we also recommend
cost.
Cost is going to be $35 for the program.
$35,
right?
Okay.
But we also recommend that you bring your laptop,
right.
Because in the process you'll probably be able to get yourself on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter, so that you can get yourself established on those programs.
Do it right there in the classroom.
Absolutely.
Learn right there.
So hopefully we've got enough bandwidth to able to accommodate everybody and get her
we'll
up.
Get that done.
And that's the program we've got there. Later coming up in April, we have another special program coming up that'll be, again, a 3-hour seminar. It's going to be on business law, the topic we're talking about today. So we'll be following up on some of these discussion topics and some of the other things that people are interested in business. The date and registration for that will be coming out a little bit later.
Okay.
But it's anticipated.
Watch
the website. About April 19th would be about the date on that.
Good.
And then we are going to be coming up later again in May, restarting the Simple Steps program.
That 5-step program.
That's the 5-step program. What we will be doing is step one, and we'd ask you simply to register for step one. Again, watch the website when it comes up. And from there, then we determine where you want to go as far as a business is concerned.
Good.
And that's coming up the middle of May. So looks like we've got our hands full for the next few months. But all of these are excellent programs for people who are either in business, want to start a business, or just having thoughts about an idea they want to pursue. So.
Right. And in our Simple Steps program right now, I think we had as just 18 or 17 people registered in the program?
We had 17 people
Pretty
registered.
Good turnout.
Excellent turnout.
Yeah.
And we've got people who are making decisions about mm-hmm. going ahead with their businesses. We've got at least two who look like they're going to be starting sometime mm-hmm. within the next 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
We also have one or two who decided, hey, the answer was no. And
that's a
positive outcome sometimes,
that's
too.
That's a success. So. You bet. Well, there's a lot going on at the SCORE chapter here in the Fox Cities. And again, if you have any questions about your business or you're thinking about going into business, visit the website at foxcities.score.org. I had to think a second.
Okay.
Foxcities.score.org. And find out what's on the calendar and then contact us if you have any questions. I'd also like to thank our sponsors this morning, the folks who help bring this program to you every Saturday morning. And those sponsors include Associated Bank, their full-service bank offering commercial loans and consumer loans, mortgage loan services throughout the entire Fox Valley area. We want to thank Albertson Haling CPA firm. Kurt Haling is in the office over on American Drive. He's pretty busy, probably working already this morning since 4 o'clock. This is tax season. But if you have any needs for tax or accounting advice, contact Kurt Haling at Albertson Haling accounting firm in Appleton. Also like to thank Lakeview Credit Union for being a sponsor. They're a full-service credit union located in Neenah with an office in Appleton. As you mentioned, Randy, Chip Coonan is representative at Lakeview. He's going to be doing the presentation for the Simple Steps, Where to Get Your Money, on Wednesday night. And I'd also like to thank Hurley & Clark Law Firm for being our new sponsor. They're the legal sponsor, and we're very happy to have Chuck Kaler in the office this morning to talk to us about some legal matters for entrepreneurs and business owners. And listen in, because honestly, if you have any questions, this is a good time to call and raise those questions. Chuck will be happy to address them for you. Also, a special mention to the Business News for promoting our program in their biweekly periodical called The Business News. If you haven't subscribed to it, $20 every 2 weeks. There's a lot of good information in there to help you with the success of your business. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. Good morning and welcome back to Biz Talk. Again, my name's Tony Bush in the studio with Randy Melzer, and our guest this morning is Chuck Kaler. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Tony. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, really glad to have you on the show, Chuck. It's great to have you here. Chuck and I go back, probably back to like Randy was being so unkind last week, the Civil War era. But Chuck and I go back a while. I was in banking, and Chuck's been an attorney with the Hurley & Clark Law Firm for quite a while. Chuck, tell us about your background, your specialty, and what does the firm do?
My area of practice is primarily in the business, real estate, employment, and related litigation areas, along with municipal and similar things that go with that.
Yep.
Our firm has its main office in Appleton. We also have offices in Oshkosh, New London, and Green Bay. Mm-hmm. And we have right now 13 attorneys and about 30 support staff.
Okay.
So we've practice in other areas than my area alone, including personal injury, divorce and family law, as well as estate planning, and I mentioned municipal, and there are subcategories in all these areas that I won't get into detail about.
Mm-hmm. But you're a full-service law firm, basically.
Yes,
just
we can
handle anything.
Well, for example, for small businesses,
you
can have family issues, you can have business issues, employment issues, debtor-creditor issues. Pretty much anything a small business can run into, we can handle.
Estate planning issues, business transition issues,
right.
Ownership
Every,
changes.
Business owners and employees have all those legal issues at one time or another, and we're equipped to deal with all of them.
Well, we're awfully happy at SCORE and at BizTalk, Chuck, to have Hurley & Clark as a sponsor for our program. That's a very reputable firm, and you've got some great people working at the law firm, and we're just really happy to have you on board as a sponsor. So thanks for being a sponsor.
You're certainly welcome, and I'm glad to be here.
Okay. No, I was just going to follow up with that, too, that you know, we've had some help from your organization, bringing some of your people in to be instructors and some of our trainers at some of our programs. And, again, we're looking forward to maintaining that relationship with you because, again, with the wealth of information you can bring, our clients can really find a lot of value from what you bring to the group. And especially this morning, reminder to out there, this would be a good morning if you have some individual questions and so on to give us that call.
Sure.
So if you you can call us here at 281-1150 here in Appleton, or if you're out of the area, toll free at 1-866-887-1150. Toll free. Please feel free to give us some calls, because we'll be happy to talk to you about them.
Do call in with a question. We have a book for you. It's called The Winning Ways for Life, written by Mao Nguyen, who is a SCORE counselor. Chuck, tell us a little bit about, you know, let's start at the beginning. Someone wants to start a business, or maybe they've started the business as a sole proprietor. What is business entity all about? What should we be looking at and considering when we're starting a business, saying corporation, LLC, partnership, sole proprietor? What are some differences there?
Starting out with sole proprietorship, this is usually one person or a person and their spouse who operate a business, have not formed a legal entity. Beyond that, oftentimes you'll find an entity known as a partnership where two people will get together and perform their business operations and perform their duties on a shared basis along with all the responsibilities. A partnership is much like a sole proprietor from a liability standpoint. When you get to limited liability companies and corporations, these are very easy to form, and the primary purpose, in my opinion, for forming these from a legal standpoint is they insulate the owners from liability so that the business transactions and matters that you get involved in generally stay within the limited liability company or the corporation, and you can, in most instances, protect your personal assets from exposure from the risks that you take in business. And this is a good way to go into business without having to risk all of your personal accumulation of wealth and assets and take some chances.
Even your future personal earning power could be at risk if you are exposed that way.
Yes, if you run into some financial difficulties in business for unexpected reasons and you do not have some form of limited liability entity that you're operating under, your personal assets can be at risk.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we talk about with people on that is, of course, the idea of personal guarantees. A lot of people have the misconception that because it's an LLC, they personally are not responsible for loans and that type of thing that the corporation or the company may be signing. What does that do? How does that get tangled up in this situation?
If you start with the proposition that I'm operating as an LLC or corporation, and therefore I'm not personally liable for these contractual obligations, et cetera, you can change that by, for example, making a loan or taking out a loan at a bank, and the bank may write the loan documents in the name of your company, mm-hmm. but also require as a condition of giving you the loan that you sign a personal guarantee. By doing so, you've now placed your personal assets at risk in addition to the company assets.
Okay.
And oftentimes, that's the only way banks will make loans.
Right. Do you find that people will do that sometimes besides just banks when you get involved, for instance, with suppliers or something like that? Do they sometimes ask for personal guarantees?
Oftentimes, businesses deal with suppliers and vendors, and they have to make business transactions on a quick and current basis, so they'll have a credit arrangement with mm-hmm. suppliers and have to fill out a credit application with the name of the company, contact information. And in addition to that, oftentimes on those forms, on the bottom of a single-page form, there will be a separate paragraph, and you will be required to sign that stating that you are guaranteeing all of the company's obligations to pay for goods and services that you're buying. So that's another way in which you can have limited liability and then open yourself up to personal liability by signing documentation that says you will back up the company.
So the lesson there is read it before you sign it. And if you don't understand it, bring it to the attorney before you sign it.
Correct. And sometimes those things are unavoidable. But oftentimes, you know, in the marketplace, businesses are more than happy to sell goods and services even without a guarantee because they've got other ways they can try to protect themselves.
Right. Okay. Let's say we're running a business, Chuck. We're in business and we're doing our services, we're selling our products. We need to get paid. We have to remember that we're eager to sell and get the customers, get the list, do the marketing, but we still have to get the money in. What are some stories or advice that you might have about collecting the money? You mentioned before the show that that was one of the things that would be an interesting talking point during the program is basically don't forget to collect the money.
Well, one word of advice at the outset is when you're doing business with someone else, make sure you know who you're doing business with.
Right.
Oftentimes we'll have clients that come in and want to collect money. We'll ask to see their paperwork, and we'll find out that they were doing business with a corporation but sent an invoice out to an individual. Or they're doing business what they thought was a company, but the company's name is incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to do business and on credit and then send a bill later, try to be sure that you get the correct name of the entity, whether it's a corporation, LLC, or whatever it is, accurate to start
mm-hmm.
with,
right,
to make sure that your documentation is in proper order later. As far as collecting, I suspect a very high percentage of most businesses collect almost all of their money, or mm-hmm. they wouldn't be in business very long.
Right.
But it's that extra 5%
that
can be problematic.
Yeah.
And getting the bills out promptly and following up, I think, is a very important part of that process.
Any strategies or advice for collecting aged receivables? You know, the receivables go 30 days, then they're 60 days, then they're 90. They're creeping out there.
I think, from my experience, a lot of companies send out reminder notices. Oftentimes, some companies will put interest rates on unpaid bills or past due bills, and many companies do that. If you are going to do that, it's a good idea to have that interest rate factor built into your initial credit arrangement, whatever the terms are, when you deal with the client up front, because oftentimes we'll have clients who are trying to collect money and they want to now charge interest, but they have never reached any agreement with the customer that there's going to be an interest charge.
Okay.
We're going to take a quick break, Chuck. We'll come back on the other side. We'll follow up on that conversation. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities, 1150 WHBY Radio. We're in the studio this morning with Chuck Kaler. Chuck is a principal and a partner at the Herling Clark Law Firm here in Appleton. And we're talking about entrepreneurs and some of the issues, legal issues that entrepreneurs might be facing, and some tips to maybe strategies to deal with those issues. And we've been talking about collecting receivables, and just as we're going into the break, during the break, we were talking about demand letters. Chuck, what is a demand letter, and when can it be used? How should it be used?
Well, business clients are justifiably very conscious about the bottom line, so they don't really want to hire lawyers and pay big legal fees if they can avoid it. So oftentimes before taking a creditor to court to collect for a client, lawyers will send out a demand letter with the client's authorization and advise the creditor who's not making payments that they've got so many days to pay or legal action will follow. And that tends to get the attention of someone who's not paying. And it's generally followed up by some sort of either small claims action or large upper branch court action to collect.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the things in collections and so on is the importance of the communication, you know, the letter there and so on, but maintaining good communication between yourself and your, the person who owes you the money. And how important is the consistency of that?
Well, I think each business owner has to know their customers that owe them money. And if they say we're going to pay or we're having a little trouble this month or we'll make installments, as long as those communications stay open, most businesses, I think, can work under those arrangements. But when the communications stop, that's usually an indication that there's a serious problem and you might need some help.
If I have something, for instance, on my billings or an agreement that says if we do not receive payment in such and such a period of time, I will take the following action. And if for some reason I don't take that action, have I nullified that item on my invoicing or that particular part of a contract?
Not really, because those clauses usually don't say you're going to take that action in so many days.
Okay.
If it says you're going to follow up with some sort of action, you've really got technically for breach of contract up to 6 years to try to collect money, but you certainly don't want to wait that long to do something.
No, obviously not. No.
Right.
Okay.
Chuck, we talked a little bit also during the break about a company that might not be paying its bills to its vendors. And some companies, unfortunately, get into that situation. Some of the vendors could get together and force their hand. They can basically force a bankruptcy, can't they?
Right. There might be only one thing worse than not collecting money, and that's collecting the money and then having to give it back.
Yeah, true.
And
happened to me once.
On the topic of bankruptcy, if you're collecting bills that are not in the ordinary course of business, if, for example, you're collecting 90 days out, 6 months out, but you want to keep doing business with that company because you've been doing business with them a long time and you know they're having some difficulty. The problem with that is that if that company files bankruptcy and you've received a check within 90 days prior to that bankruptcy filing for an old bill, the bankruptcy trustee will send you a letter and say you have to give that money to the bankruptcy court so we can divide it up among other creditors. A payment such as that's called a preference.
Preference payments.
Now, shifting to what you suggested, if somebody is giving you the silent treatment and owes you money and you think that they're hiding assets or depleting cash resources, inventory, et cetera, and not paying your bill, and you find out someone else is having the same problem, with a small number of creditors over a certain amount of debt, an involuntary bankruptcy can be forced upon that company by filing an involuntary bankruptcy petition with the court, and in doing so, the assets of that company will then become property of the bankruptcy estate, and a trustee will take over and stop that depletion of assets, and you might have a better chance to collect something.
Protect the value what's left, so you have a chance to get some payment anyway.
Before it's all gone.
Is that a Chapter 11 bankruptcy or Chapter 7 bankruptcy?
That's generally a Chapter 7 liquidation bankruptcy.
Liquidation, okay.
Where the business is being basically closed down and liquidated, and the assets collected, administration expenses paid, and then the balance of assets will be distributed among the creditors on a pro rata basis. Mm-hmm. Now, when that happens, if you're a general trade creditor, you will be in second position to any secured creditors.
Right.
Okay. Do trade creditors take secured positions more today?
Depends upon the amount of money involved and how quick the transaction goes down. In a typical day-to-day transaction where you're selling something for a few hundred dollars and this is your business and it goes, the bill goes out and you typically get paid within 30 days, it's a little bit cumbersome to require security agreements to be signed and then file a UCC financing statement. But if you want to take security in something that you sell, let's suppose you sell a large machine and you're going to collect on an installment basis over 3-4 months. In that situation, it's really well worth it to have a short security agreement written with that customer, and then you can file a UCC financing statement for a purchase money security interest, and you can actually give notice to other secured creditors that you're doing that and take priority over pre-existing secured creditors on that piece of equipment only.
Right. And that's a big thing because you're able to protect yourself then if you're selling something on an installment plan.
Correct.
You can get the equipment back if there's a non-payment.
Furthermore, if you sold that large piece of machinery and you were on a 4-month installment plan and the machinery was delivered to the customer and 2 weeks later that customer filed bankruptcy, suddenly you have no right to collect those payments and the machinery is now owned by the bankruptcy trustee, by the bankruptcy estate. Whereas if you had a UCC financing statement and you were a secured creditor, you would now have priority over the bankruptcy trustee.
As you just pointed out, you're not an unsecured creditor. Now you're a secured creditor, and you have a right.
Correct.
In a bankruptcy.
You have a priority right.
Yep.
Okay. Again, kind of shifting gears a little bit, but going back to what we had originally started with when starting out a business and so on, the first thing anybody gets excited about is, should I be an LLC? Should I be an S-Corp? Should I be this or that? I think people overlook one of the more important things in forming up that business, and of course that's the operating agreements or bylaws and the importance that everybody understands where and what is involved. Can you give us a little bit of information of how you help people set those up and why they're so important?
Just to get a little terminology state, limited liability companies have owners called members. Corporations have owners called shareholders, but except for the change in names, It's nearly identical in terms of liability and what kind of agreements that the owners will make between themselves. With a limited liability company, the agreement is oftentimes called an operating agreement. With a corporation, the agreement is oftentimes called first bylaws, coupled with a shareholders agreement.
Okay.
Now, in those agreements, you're just setting out some basic ground rules among the owners as to what will happen in certain circumstances. And not everything is covered in these, but typically you'll cover major items such as what if one of the owners wants to leave? Do the other owners have to buy them out? What's the price going to be? Or is it an optional buyout? What if one of the owners dies? What if one of the owners wants to sell his interest to someone else, mm-hmm. and a buyer comes along and the three other owners do not want to sell? These can involve controversies later that can be avoided by coming up with an agreement early on before these situations arise, when everyone's in much more of an agreeable mood.
I'd like to give out the phone numbers quickly if anyone has a question to call in and ask Chuck a question about a legal issue about business. If you're in the Appleton area, you can reach us at 281-1150, 281-1150. If you're outside the Appleton area, call us at 1-866-887-1150. If you have a question for Chuck, we have a book for you. It's called Winning Ways of Life, for Life. Randy, you had a question?
Well, no, I was just going to kind of follow up with that, because some of the nightmare stories that I see when I'm talking to people who've been in business for a number of years is that failure to put together something as far as dissolution. What's going to happen if, A, the company goes down, or B, one of the partners dies? In addition to the necessary documentation, you know, we usually recommend not only that, but you get the accountant involved, that you also get the financial people involved in it, and that you get insurance people involved in it. How important is it, a team like that, to making sure that your business goes the right way, you know, in case things happen?
Well, when you get started, or even if you've gone down the road a ways in your business, it's important to have liability insurance in most businesses, in addition to being an LLC or corporation. Although those entities will give you protection from many kinds of items, if you have liability insurance and your company gets sued, the liability insurance contract generally provides that the insurance company will provide you with a lawyer at the insurance company's expense to defend you, whether you're liable or not. So that can be an enormous benefit from an insurance policy that most people don't realize. And as far as putting together shareholder agreements or operating agreements for members, it's generally a good idea, I think, to make contact with an accountant or some company with those kinds of skills, so you can get your books set up correctly to start with. And I would certainly encourage you to have one brief meeting with legal counsel, mm-hmm. to answer your questions. That doesn't cost very much, and if you get off on the right track, you can avoid a lot of potential problems later by not doing things right in the mm-hmm. first instance.
And one of the first warnings we always give is that if you need an attorney, it's a little late. It'd be much better to establish that kind of relationship when you were making your business plans, as opposed to waiting until something hits the fan on the other end.
I can't tell you how many files we have in our office where one phone call could have prevented a lawsuit. And I don't care how long anyone has been in business, it's been my experience that sooner or later you'll run into a situation that's a little unusual, a little out of the ordinary, haven't done this before. Mm-hmm. And there's a great temptation to just
run with it
and see what happens.
Right.
And time and again, that can lead to a problem where one phone call probably could have prevented those sorts of problems.
Okay, so if we were going to make that phone call to you, just as letting us know how to get in contact with you and where we find you.
Well, our office is in Appleton, and our main line number is 739-7366. And our offices are open generally Monday through Friday, but we can be reached on weekends and evenings as necessary. Oftentimes, business people need answers in a hurry, and we're equipped to do that.
Do you have an email address, Chuck? Is there a website?
Oh, yes. We have a website under Hurling Clark, and yes, we have email addresses, actually, for every lawyer in our office, which generally is the first initial of their name and last name, followed by at hurlingclark.com.
Yep. Chuck, in terms of LLCs, we only have a minute before the break, but in terms of LLCs, they're not real expensive to form, are they? Like $130 if you do it yourself?
Yeah, the filing fee is $130, just a little over $100 for a filing with the State of Wisconsin Department
right.
of Financial Institutions.
And if someone has a number of rental properties, it's probably a good idea to consider putting two in each LLC or one in each LLC, just to contain the legal exposure of all the properties when there's a claim against one of the properties?
For example, this calls to mind a company I worked for before I went into private practice, a larger company in central Wisconsin. They had 96 corporate subsidiaries. For every different business they were in, they had a separate corporation for it.
Mm-hmm.
Taking that down to a smaller scale, if a person had four duplexes and wanted to isolate each duplex from liability that might arise from the other one, you could have four separate LLCs. Or if you had one business doing some sort of service work and another one engaged in some sort of risky product manufacturing business, you could have two separate corporations for that. But keep one thing in mind. If you have separate LLCs, you have to treat them all separately. You really need separate tax returns, separate checkbooks, separate everything. As soon as you start commingling assets and commingling money and running them all as one, a court will collapse them into a single if there's liability and not enough money to pay.
And that brings up a great point, because if you're going to be a business owner, you have to have a checking account for your LLC and your family monies in a separate account. Do not run them both through the same checking account.
And on your business cards also, if you're Inc. Corp. Limited LLC, you must have that language on your business cards.
Yes.
And on your stationery, and on your checks, anything that customers get. Otherwise, you can accidentally defeat your liability protection by signing everything in your personal name or not having your limited liability status on your documentation.
And if that happens, call Chuck.
Correct.
We
Absolutely.
Have to take a break right now. We'll come back on the other side. You're listening to Biz Talk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY Radio. And welcome back to our final segment of Biz Talk this morning. We've been visiting with Chuck Gaylor, who's a principal and a partner at the Hurling Clark Law Firm in Appleton. Chuck, one more time, give us your contact information. If someone from the listening audience is interested in contacting you or following up next week, how can they reach you?
The best way is to call our main office in Appleton at 739-7366. And the receptionist can direct you to the right person for whatever kind of issue you may have.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Okay, going on with some of the things that we've been talking about, but one of the other areas is always employment. When people start to grow their business, they get a little bigger, they're employing people and so on. And, of course, not all of those employees work out. One of the problems we're facing today is, how do I, handle terminations? What should I be aware of? How should I go about making sure that I'm not walking into a liability situation in those cases?
Well, Wisconsin is an at-will employment state, which means an employee can quit any time with no reason, and an employer can terminate an employee at any time with no reason. Now, the one exception to that, common exception, is if you have an employee contract with a management-level employee. Oftentimes, there might be certain procedures or reasons that are required as conditions for termination. But by and large, for people who are employees who do not have written employment contracts, it's at will. Now, the one thing you can't do is terminate someone for a wrong reason. You oftentimes hear a wrongful termination. Well, that's a rather generic subject, but most oftentimes what that pertains to is terminating someone unlawfully on grounds of unlawful discrimination or retaliation for exercising legal rights. There's something over a dozen different types of protected classes of employees. Some of the most common is age, sex, religion, race. And employees' jobs are valuable to them, and if they are terminated and they fit in one of those protected classes, they will oftentimes file a claim, whether it's justified or not.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And even accusing someone falsely and then terminating them and not having the proof to back up the accusation is a wrongful termination.
It can be.
Yeah.
So if it's based on substandard performance, it's important for employers to document that performance that's not satisfactory, and even confront the employee with it and give them an opportunity to take corrective action.
So having a consistent policy, a consistent plan of how to work with an employee, document the contact, and make sure that it's in the employee file would be the correct way to follow through on something like that?
Yes, and I sense somewhat of a reluctance among some employers to want to confront employees and tell them things aren't going well.
Hard thing to do.
Another item, real quick, is the employee handbook.
Real quick.
Okay. Can you? A lot of people think that that is a contract.
most employee handbooks that are well written nowadays state right up front that these are guidelines only for the employers and employees. They're not a contract,
right.
But still it lays out a general set of guidelines and rules so the employers and employees have an understanding of what's going on in their companies.
Okay.
Chuck, as our custom is, we ask our guests on the show to leave a biz tip or a pearl of wisdom. Do you have one for us?
Well, I touched on it a little bit earlier, and you could call this two biz tips. As I said before, when businesses and business owners are clipping along just fine and you run into territory where you think you might not know exactly what to do,
yep.
I can't tell you how many files we have in our office that are that involve litigation or some other undesirable set of circumstances which were preventable had the business owner only checked with even one phone call to say, what should I do in this situation?
Yep.
Can you tell me? And I suspect the same thing is true when it comes to tax issues and transactions
yep.
in terms
yep.
of what needs to be done for those.
Well, Chuck, okay. I want to thank you very much for being our guest this morning. It was a great show. We could spend 3 hours and more on some of these topics.
Well,
we're helpful.
Hopefully we're going to be planning on doing just that.
You've got a 3-hour
coming
session.
Up in April, we're planning on a 3-hour law session on business law. So hopefully
and
we can spend that time.
Date and time again?
That one, hopefully, we are looking at April 19th. And that'll be another one of the special tailored programs. It'll be a $35 session at the Fox City Chamber office.
And listen in on BizTalk as we'll be promoting that as that develops.
Right.
And we'll also have it on the website.
Right. And the website is www.foxcities.score.org.
You get a gold star this morning.
All right.
Good job. We also want to thank you for listening to the program. Next week, our guest is going to be Mike and Mary Rebman from Triumph Electric. We're going to find out how a contractor gets through all these difficult times and a husband and wife team works together. They're a great couple. We're going to have a lot of fun next week. So when you're tuning in next Saturday morning, remember to give us a call. You've been listening to BizTalk on the Voice of the Fox Cities 1150 WHBY Radio.